do ask an interest in your prayers tonight as I stand before you. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read in your hearing tonight from the writings of the Apostle Paul, as he wrote to the brethren at Corinth in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. Probably read the entire chapter in your hearing tonight. This passage of Scripture speaks of the absolute necessity of the Spirit of Almighty God to be able to understand the things of God, and that how these things are hidden from men and the wisdom of man, and revealed unto us by and through the power of Almighty God. Again, reading right in verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." One has been born of the Spirit of God. The Lord has worked in his heart and taken away a hard and stony heart and giving that individual, that man, that woman, a heart of flesh. They've been born from above, born again, made alive. That which was dead in trespasses and in sins has been quickened and made alive by the power of Almighty God. Preaching of the gospel doesn't do that. Men can't do that. It's only the Lord who does that. And men cannot hinder him in that work, nor help him in that work. It's not something that God does along with man and agreement with man or in communion with man or by man's ability, man's strength. It's all done by the very power of God. And until the Lord works that in you, you don't have any eye or ear or heart to understand and know the things of God. It takes God to give you those things. The Apostle Paul is preaching and teaching the brethren here, and he's speaking to the brethren. And y'all probably heard me get way off when I start running that rabbit of the brethren. All that that word really means, and it means so very much, it should to all of us tonight. To be numbered among the brethren. Behold how good and pleasant it is, the psalmist wrote, for brethren to dwell together in unity. To be able to be of one mind and of one thought. And to see and to understand and to know things that by the nature of man and by the power of man and the wisdom of man, we would have never ever known. Tonight, you and I are speaking of things that were hidden. In the old law covenant, under the old law service, was there in types and shadows in the Old Testament. That was really the truth that existed and was a reality even from the foundation of the world. Of what Jesus was going to come and do in this world For the most part, those who lived in the Old Testament saw it and saw it in the types and shadows that were under the old ceremonial law, but they looked forward to what Jesus was coming to do. But they didn't have the understanding that many, by God's grace today, that we, by God's grace today, that which was hidden in times past has become manifest. And we know what those things are talking about because we saw the fulfillment in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. And tonight, if you and I can understand that, even in part, what a great blessing that is. That's an evidence that you belong to the Lord, that you're His, that He died for you, and that He has awakened you and given you life spiritually to know the things of God. Even if you can understand you need Him, you know, every man in this world is in a bad, bad shape without Jesus. If without Jesus, there is no hope. We believe that. Without Jesus, there is no light. There's no help. There's no strength. There would be no hope for you and I. The Bible teaches us that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When the Lord looked down from heaven upon the sons of men, He didn't see there was some good. He saw there was none good. No, not one. He saw that there was none that seeketh after God. That we all had gone astray. We all left to our own efforts and our own will would be cast eternally away from God forever. And there'd be no hope for us. We wouldn't think that was fair. We men today don't think that's fair. When you preach that today in this world, there's a lot of people who hear that say, I just can't believe in a God like that. I can't believe that there would actually be a judgment for sin. I know people sin, but I can't believe that the wages of sin would really be death. And that's so contrary to what men think. You see, man's thoughts and God's thoughts are so far apart and so far different. And even in the day and age we're living, even among those who profess to believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Lord, have a real hard and difficult time with some of the things written in the Bible because they want God to be like they want Him to be rather than what the Bible says who He is. Tonight, if you can believe just simply that what we have before us is God's Word and what the Bible says about the Lord is exactly who He is and everything that you see in it, Doesn't make me feel bad about who He is, but rather I am so thankful that our God is as mighty as He is tonight, as powerful as He is, as loving as He is, as full of judgment and right and mercy. He's altogether righteousness. There's not anything in our God is a good God, eh? As Brother Carol Newman says, ain't God good? And indeed He is. It's not just a statement. Listen, we have a mighty God, an awesome God, a good God, a loving God, a God who is holy and righteous, who cannot look upon sin. And in order to really appreciate what Jesus has done for us, we need to recognize what a shape we were in without Him. And all mankind was in that shape. But when it comes personally, I'm in that shape. You know, it's one thing about all mankind being in that shape, but it's another thing when it comes down to me saying I'm in that shape. You know, you could say all men are like that, so I'm not so bad off. I'm like everybody else. So that's a different view of it, isn't it? In other words, we know we've all sinned. And that's the way a lot of people preach about sin today. They preach it from the standpoint, well, yeah, I know men sin, but all men sin, so sin's not so bad, you know. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible tells us as God's little children that we ought to, He says, to be holy, for I am holy, that we should eschew evil, that is, see sin in the light the way the Lord would allow us to see sin. The sin that is in me and the sin that is in you ought to bother us. You might say, well, it really bothers me. Good, I hope it does. I hope it troubles you. And I hope it burdens you. I hope you really see that without the Lord, I'm in trouble. And then along with that, I hope you understand that sin debt was paid for, as Brother Charles said in his prayer. We thank the Lord for Jesus because He came as the sin bearer, didn't He? He came as the one who paid for our sin debt. He's the one who was bruised for our iniquities. And by His stripes, He didn't try to heal us. He healed us. He's the one who came as a lamb led dumb and as a sheep, dumb before the slaughter. In the slaughter, we know that Jesus came and bore the price and paid the price, as we read in Isaiah 53 that we could not pay. And he did it, and he paid it all, and he paid it in full. And the Apostle Paul says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." See, the message we have to share tonight is not the testimony of man, it's the testimony of God. It's not the good news from across town, it's the good news from heaven. It's as cold water to a thirsty news. It's good news from a far country. It's good news that the Lord has given us. It's the gospel that salvation is of the Lord. That though we are in and of ourselves lost and undone, in the Lord Jesus Christ we have a Savior who we can put our complete and total trust in and dependence in. We have a friend in Jesus. What a friend we do have. That we can cast all our cares. As the hymn writer said, "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." And coming with that blot that's upon us that seems to separate us from our God, isn't it wonderful to know that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that is certainly in a timely application. We do know that at Calvary, our sins were taken from us and given to Him. And there at the cross, He paid a price for all of His children where their sin debt, He paid that price, and our sin debt was removed from us as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us anymore. Tonight, if you can believe that, it's because the Lord, if you want to believe that, if you have a desire to believe that, if you want to believe it better, if you have a hunger for it, if it hasn't offended you, you know, there's an offense in the cross. There are some people who said, "I don't need a Savior. I'm not that bad. I don't need someone to die for me because I'm not that bad. I've not done that much wrong." But listen, brethren, I know this. I needed someone who stood in my room instead. I know that if I had to stand before God today and be judged based on what I've done, that I knew I'd be like the leper. I'd have to cry out. And you would have to cry out, "Unclean, unclean. There's no good in me. There's nothing I could claim and say, Lord, I deserve anything." Listen, it's His grace that has given me what I have. It's His grace that has allowed me to be able to even want to tonight stand before you and talk about Jesus and all the wonderful things that He's done for His children. And I'm telling you, our Jesus isn't a little Jesus, isn't a weak Jesus, isn't a feeble Jesus. He's the one who created the heavens and the earth. He's the light of the world. He's the one who is our wisdom and our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the first and the last. He is the one that without Him, He's that one mediator that stands between God and man. Tonight, because of Him, you and I can go down on our knees with all the things we've talked about and petition the Lord and call upon Him and understand we can come boldly to a throne of grace because of Jesus who sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us tonight. Every prayer that He's answered. He's answered a lot of prayers for us, hasn't He? Every prayer that He's heard and answered in our life has come to us because a Savior loved us enough to die for us at Calvary and bought and paid for those blessings so that we might have them. And listen, there's a heaven that awaits. This world's been good. I've had a great time in this world. I hope to have a little more time. I don't want to be talking like I don't think I have any more. But if I didn't have any more, it's been a wonderful, wonderful life. The Lord has blessed me. I remember a time when He first started working in my heart about a call to the ministry and that burden that's been in my life to speak to the Lord's people. I felt like, "Oh Lord, I don't know how I'm going to be able to ever stand before God's children," and it just scared me to death to think about it. To even think about how I could stand and speak about such wonderful things and then have the responsibility to say them in a way that would honor God and glorify Him and not take from His Word. I felt like I can't I can't do that. You see, as a young boy, if I had to give a book report, I had to stand before a class, I would take the F before having to do it, and if I did do it, I'd have to get up there and read it just as fast as I could from the beginning to the end. And then, as soon as I sat down, I'd have a red face that then broke out in hives because I got so nervous about all that. I know right now, to think about what I do, that kind of thing doesn't trouble me as much as it once did. Just the actual thing of getting in front of people. But I'll tell you tonight, coming here to this little congregation, I felt just as scared as the first time I ever stood before the Lord's people. And I'm not talking about in a natural way. I wasn't that intimidated about naturally being that way, but I realized the awesome responsibility of sharing tonight the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, to express what Jesus has done for his children and what he's done for me. You see, I believe the Apostle Paul didn't just talk about what he did for everybody else. I believe he had a story to tell about what Jesus had done for him. You see, he was an old Saul, wasn't he? A persecuting Saul who despised the church and had understood that if anybody could be saved, if he can save me, he can save all of his children and will if he could show mercy to an old Saul. That's the way he felt. Tonight, I tell you, as I look at my life, and I know it better than you know it, I don't want you to know all about my life, and I know you probably don't want me to know all about your life, and if all of us could keep it ahead from one another, we probably would, but you know the Lord knows every single thing in my life, and the thing that amazes me about that is he still loves me. I believe he loves me. I believe he loves me. I believe he loved me enough to die for me. I know he's been mighty good. If he doesn't love me, he's surely been mighty good to someone he didn't love. I believe he showed me that he loved me because he's been good to me. Has he been good to you, brethren, I ask you? Has he been good to you? Have you seen his grace in your life? Have you seen his work in your life? Have you called on him in the time of need and felt the result of prayer being answered? And I know you still have troubles. I know we still have problems. In this world, you'll have tribulation. But I'll tell you, you can be of good cheer because he said, I've overcome the world. And we have someone in the Lord Jesus Christ who can help you no matter where you are and what you've gone through. Young or old, he's a rock on which you can build your life. And the truth of his word will hold you up in the storms of life when everything else gets pretty meaningless. And sometimes we think it's so important, don't we? Most things aren't that important. What we're doing tonight is important. I believe that with all my heart. The Apostle Paul says, when brethren, I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. Now, it wasn't that the Apostle Paul didn't have that. He just said, I'm going to count all that but dung. Because all of the wisdom of this world and all those things, is not good. That is not how God's little children get taught. That's not how they get fed. I'm coming dependent upon the Lord. I'm coming depending upon the Spirit. When we meet in our meetings, we depend upon the Spirit. We depend upon the Spirit to bless our preacher, to preach. We depend upon the Spirit to feed the congregation that meets there. If our singing is not in spirit, it's just dead, cold singing. And if our fellowship is not in the Spirit, then it's really not true fellowship. Listen, if we really have fellowship, it's going to be in Him and by Him and through Him. And it'll be with Him. And oh, that's a wonderful thing when a church is not lukewarm, but rather it's cold or hot. It's cold to the things it ought to be cold to and hot towards the things it should be. Because it feels the leadership and the direction of the Spirit of Almighty God. He said here, I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, and I'm declaring unto you the testimony of God. What is that testimony? Oh, I'll tell you, it's some wonderful things. That God took upon himself a body of flesh. Who was Jesus? He was God. Emmanuel, God with us. And he came into this world for a purpose. He came to live a perfect life so that he might be a perfect sacrifice. He had to take upon him the body of a flesh. He had to be born of a virgin. He didn't have a polluted bloodline like you and I. He was born, that which was conceived, and that holy thing, the Bible says, that was conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost. That the Lord and His mother Mary, who had never known a man, what an amazing birth that was there. Now, some people say, well, I can't believe that that's really true. Listen, if you can't believe that, you just might as well shut the book and go on and put it away and put it on the shelf and pay no attention to anything else. Listen, if he was just like you and me, he would have been born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And my Savior and our Savior was not. He was a perfect Son of God. And also the Son of Man. He took upon himself a body of flesh. He had to be made like unto his brethren. And the reason he had to be that is because he not only was the sacrifice, but he was also the high priest who had to offer that sacrifice, who offered himself, and he offered it unto his Father. Listen, he never offered himself unto mankind. He offered himself once unto God, and that sacrifice was accepted. The wrath of God was satisfied. Aren't you thankful that the wrath of God is satisfied? Brethren, the reason we won't receive the wrath of God is because Jesus paid for it and bore it on the cross. And it's been removed from us as far as the east is from the west. Now, who is the us? It's a people that God knew in covenant out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people, a number that no man can number, as innumerable, can't number them as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. The Lord gave them unto His Son, and His Son came for them, and Jesus died for them and paid the sin debt for them. Washed them in His own blood. That's the testimony I believe the Apostle Paul preached and taught. I believe that's what he taught the Roman brethren. I don't believe he went to Rome and taught something different than he did at Corinth. Do you? I believe when he taught in Ephesus, he taught the same thing he taught at Corinth. I believe he said to earnestly contend for this faith. I believe we're preaching that same faith. If I didn't believe that, I'd preach something different. Listen, when I felt the Lord's call in my life, one of the major concerns I had was that I was teaching what the Lord would have me to teach and to preach what the Lord would have me to preach. And I realized I need the Lord to bless me to know that and to earnestly contend for it. We're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And just as the minister is called to study and his Bible, you as God's little children are called to study your Bibles so that you might try the spirits to see whether they be of God or whether they're not. Because not everybody that comes toting a Bible and saying he's preaching is truly preaching. The airways are filled with those who are preaching false doctrine, false teaching. It's bringing great heartache in the lives of God's children and bringing great burdens in their life. And rather than setting them free, the truth will set you free. The lies of this world and the false gospels of this world will bind you up and bring you into captivity in your life. Oh, He can't take your eternal salvation. If you belong to the Lord, you've been His, you will continue to be His. But it can bring great heartache in your life as a little child of grace. He said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Now, what did he preach? Did he preach current events? No. Did he preach philosophy? No. Did he preach? Did he preach the things that were going on around him? No. He preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the testimony of God. How can we be sure we're preaching that? Well, we should come from the Word. What did he say? Preach. Preach the Word. Be instant. That means be ready. Instant. Like instant oatmeal, I guess. You just doesn't take long to fix. Does it? Instant. Be ready. Instant. Be instant. When? In season. And in out of season. Reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. How do we do that? We preach the Word. We stay with the Word. We preach what's written in God's Word. He says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That means my message is going to be Jesus. Some people say, well, Jesus is okay, but then there's a whole lot of others. Let me say, there are no others. There is no other way. Jesus is not just one of many ways. Jesus said, if Jesus is who He said He was, and I believe He is, and He is all that the Apostle Paul said He was, and I believe that He is, and the Bible teaches Him to be, Jesus is the way, isn't He? He's not a way. He's the way. He's not just one of the many truths. He is the truth. And He's not just maybe one way to get life. He is the life. Listen, there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. He is our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. He is the Lamb of, He is the Lord who is my shepherd. There's not just a bunch of shepherds out there. He is the chief shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. And every under shepherd that's worth his salt is going to be preaching about the chief shepherd. He's going to be pointing to the chief shepherd. And he is called, Paul was called to the Lord as a chosen vessel unto the Lord to preach Jesus. That's what he called him to do. You preach Jesus. And Paul said he did it in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And I believe that meant he recognized the awesome responsibility of it. And he also realized, I can't do this with the wisdom of men, because men in their wisdom can't see this. That's something that's so absolutely important for you and I to understand tonight. That we can't understand these things through the intellect and the methodologies of this world. That we have to be dependent upon the Lord. And I'll tell you what I've seen the Lord do. I've seen him take a little old brother as he shared the gospel from the pulpit and feed the little lambs that are young in age, and feed those that are seasoned, that have been sitting under the sound of gospel preaching. And I've seen the Lord just move in a congregation, young and old alike, and bless them as the Spirit of the Lord took the Word of God. And as the Lord took what a little lad and had and a few loaves and a few fishes and fed the multitude, I've seen the Lord take gospel preaching and feed a congregation of all ages and all walks of life. I'm telling you, when the Lord moves, it's a wonderful thing. And without Him, well, we're just a puff of wind. That's all. We can get loud, but it won't mean you're preaching. You can get salt, and it won't mean you're preaching. It takes the Lord to give us that power and that ability. Apostle Paul said, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Some of them found the doctrine of the crucifixion a stumbling block and a curse. Some just thought it was foolishness. Oh, it's not foolishness to me tonight, is it to you? I don't believe it is to you. I believe you just see what He did for you at the cross, and it kind of melts your heart. It causes you to rejoice, but it makes you sad. It causes you to be sad that He would have to take on such a painful death because of me. Not only what He bore on a cross, but all the wrath of the Father that would have been mine in an eternity of hell was poured out on His own Son at Calvary, so that I might have life, that I have an inheritance. You have an inheritance. Incorruptible. Undefiled. That fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I tell you, when you get sick in this old world, it sure gives you a lot of peace and comfort to know that if I would leave this world, there's a heaven awaiting and a place that's awaiting for me. And also to know that the Lord will, He can heal me in this world, but if not, He'll heal me in another way. You know, some people think the only healing you can get is down here. And if the Lord doesn't heal you down here, you just didn't get healed. Listen, I've seen some folks healed a whole lot better by getting out of this world than they ever were in this world. Because when you're absent from the body, you're what? You're present with the Lord. And the Apostle Paul said this, "For to me to live is Christ." That's wonderful living. I wish I could say that all together tonight about me. For to me to live is Christ. That means when I got up in the morning, it's about the Lord. Sometimes I get up in the morning, it's too much about me. How about you? Sometimes it's too much about something else. Sometimes it's about having to get to the job, having to get through this. And most of the time, those kinds of days make me weary. But when I get up in the morning and realize my life is all about Him, that He's the one who's given me life every day, and as I go in this world, I'm to let my light that He's given me so shine before men that others may see my good works, and that is the works He's put in me, not which I have, and glorify in that process. I glorify my Father. Not only that, it causes them to glorify the Father. And those who can't see it, well, they might despise you for it, but it still works to the glory of God, doesn't it? And that, then do it, and not only let it shine. He didn't say just let your light shine. He said let it so shine. That so shine is very important. You're to let it shine in a way that everyone who sees it recognizes You give the glory, not unto us, O Lord, Psalm 115 says, not unto us, but unto thy name be glory. Tonight, if I say anything that takes away from his glory, may God forgive me, and you don't have it, you don't hear it, don't heed it. If you hear any man preaching, and he says something that robs God of the glory that's due unto his name, listen, salvation is of the Lord from the beginning to the end. It's all by His grace. That's the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul was teaching the Corinthian brethren. That was that wisdom that's from above. That is that message that was hidden as a mystery to so many. And the world still can't see it. They won't have it. They don't want it. They don't want to have a place where you just praise God. Where is my little part? Listen, we recognize tonight we are the recipients of His grace. And we have no place wherein to glory. You know, if you're not looking for a place to glory, it's hard to get your feelings hurt. Let me say that again. If you're not looking for a place to get some glory, it's hard to get your feelings hurt. When I get my feelings hurt, it's usually because somebody hadn't given me credit for what I think I deserve. And you know what that means? I'm looking for a little glory, a little pat on the back. And you know the reality of it all? God has been so good to all of us, hasn't He? That all the glory and all the honor and all the praise belongs unto Him. It's like an old preacher said one time, or at least I heard that he said it. I heard an old preacher said that an old preacher said it, that one time he was riding on a train and some guy just railed him up and down and called him every name in the book and said, "You're this and you're that and you're everything else." And rather than getting mad, he just said, "You're absolutely right. That's me. That's who I am. But for the grace of God, that's where I would stay." And rather than get mad, he rejoiced in the Savior's love and what Jesus had done for him. And I'll tell you, that's how it'll affect your life. You recognize every good thing's come in my life by the grace of God and anything I get. Otherwise, I could never say, "Listen, I didn't." You know, sometimes we say, "I didn't deserve this. Just give me what's coming to me." Oh, you don't want what's coming to you. I don't want what's coming to me. May God's grace continue to be with us, and it will be as His little children. He says this, "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That doesn't mean we don't teach other things in the Scripture, but we always bring it back to what? Every gospel message ought to be what? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It ought to be about His death and His burial and His resurrection and what it accomplished. It ought to be, it is in essence everything you'll find. The whole Bible is about that. Everything in the Old Testament, everything in the New Testament, if you get down to the meat of it and the purpose of it, it is all to testify of Him and His glory and His power and His might. Listen, we don't have a little Savior. Don't let somebody tell you Jesus is a little Savior, that He wants to do something He can't do. The world pictures Him as an effeminate character that wants to help somebody that they won't let Him help them, and wants to do something, and He's begging and pleading. Listen, I'm telling you, that Savior, that's not me. Our Savior is the one who went into the temple, and I'm telling you, when the money changers went out of there, they knew somebody was on the other end of that lash or that cord. He's the one who spoke, and when He spoke, there was power. No man ever spake like this man. He could walk on water. He made the water. He didn't have any trouble walking on it. And when He ascended into heaven, He didn't need a jet plane to do it either. He was by His own power. He gave His life in death. He gave it. That's how He had to die. Listen, you and I won't have to give up our life to die. When we die, he said, "Into our hands I commend my spirit." No man has to do that. I'm telling you, Jesus did that because He gave His life. No man could take it. He willingly gave it because of His great love for us. And then He had the power to take it up again, didn't He? There's an empty grave that proves that. Tonight we're not talking about where our Savior's buried and going there to worship Him, because He's not in a grave. He's our Savior. Where is our God? The heathen says, "Where is thy God?" Our God is where? He's in the heavens, and He's done whatsoever He hath pleased. Isn't that wonderful? And you know, somebody said, "Well, why did He choose this one and not that one?" Well, he had sovereign choice to choose whomever He would. And He saw fit to choose those whom He loved. And those whom He loved are pictured in Jacob. He said, "Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." God had choice. And He made a choice. And that choice was for His people. And listen, if you love the Lord today, it isn't because you chose on your own to do that. He made that choice even before the foundation of the world. And he doesn't change his mind either. Somebody says, well, he'll love you today and hate you tomorrow. No, not our God. Our God changes not. He's not fickle. He's not going to be a God. And somebody says, well, he loved you, but he can't save you. And unless you do something, oh, that would be a weak God, isn't it? Listen, our God, I want to preach the God of the Apostle Paul, that he talked about his God. His God and our God had the power that to save all whom he loved. And he loved all that the Father gave him. He had a love for them as he was one with the Father. And there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Do you believe that? I do. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And everything was necessary for us to be with him in heaven. It was accomplished in Jesus. And that's what the Apostle Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I tell you tonight, I've said this many, many times, but it sounds as good in my hearing as it ever has sounded. Because it's a truth of Jesus Christ. It's the one I'm depending on in my life. It's the one when I face death and leave this world that I'm hoping and praying will be there to carry me out of this world. Listen, if he doesn't come carry me out of this world, I'll never leave it. Somebody said, well, you just going home, well, in a sense you go home, but because you're going to be carried. If you get to the cemetery, you're going to have to be carried there, aren't you? Because when we die, that'll be it. Somebody have to take us. But I'm thankful of our God who knows where his children are. And at the moment of our death, just as Stephen was being stoned, he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. I believe there'll be at the moment of our death, as we close our eyes here, we'll see him face to face, and he'll be there to take us home. That's why we can say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? There's no reason to fear it. The old nature fears it. Sure it does. But in the spirit, there's no reason to fear it. We sang that tonight, even come welcome death, I'll gladly go with thee. You know how many people sing that? Not too many, I can tell you that. A lot of people sing Amazing Grace. Not too many people sing, oh, farewell vain world, I'm going home. My Savior bids me come. Just like that little sister I saw over there this weekend, she was in such bad shape. We tried to talk with her and she couldn't hear us. And she said, just get closer and maybe I can hear. But her conversation was about this. She said, I just want to go home. She wasn't talking about going home anywhere like here on this earth home. She said, I want to go be with him. She said, oh, I have a sweet hope of being with him. And she's been one who at times has questioned whether he has really worked on her. And you know why? Because she feels like I'm not deserving of it. The more she talked about that, the more I could see her as one of his. I know she belongs to him. And I know one day he's going to come. Maybe it's already happened. I don't know when it's coming. But he's going to come and speak to her. And she's going to leave this old troubled world. And all the afflictions of her body will be left behind. And she'll go home to be with the Lord. And that's how it's precious in the sight of the Lord or the death of his saints. You know, we don't ever get happy here in the natural way about somebody dying. But I'm telling you in the spirit, I've rejoiced many times. One of our little loved ones out of the pain and the agony of this world, and they're in the presence of the Lord. Which, by the way, is no matter what condition you're in, is far better. For me to live is Christ. I left that hanging, didn't I? For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. That means to be with the Lord. And he didn't say it was a little better. He said it's far better. Far better. That is what I believe he preached here to Corinth. And he says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. That means I didn't come in all the arrogance. I've seen a lot of old Baptist preachers climb into the stand. I remember back when I first come among them, I just marveled when I saw some of those older brethren. It looked like to me, the first time I ever remember seeing an old Baptist preacher, I thought he was going to die almost before he got in the stand, because when they called on him, he looked like it took him forever to get out of the seat. And he wasn't a real old man, but you could see the weight of it. And I thought, my goodness, I'd never been to an old Baptist church before. I'd never heard any old Baptist or any brother preach like that. I saw him getting up there. It wasn't what I was used to. I thought, my goodness, what in the world are we going to hear here? And he got in the stand, and I thought, boy, I don't know. I hope he can say something. I'll tell you, once he started, I saw the power of God. I felt the presence of the Lord. I heard the gospel of salvation by grace, that it wasn't in what you do or you accept or what you've done, but is in what He did. And it wasn't in part what you do and He did. You know, this partnership, the partnership deal, the problem with the partnership is our part. It is what He does. If we had something to do with it, I'm telling you what we'll do as men. We'll mess it up. Listen, salvation, if it's really salvation, it's going to have to be all together of the Lord. And the good news is that it is. And that's what that brother preached. And when he preached it, it just fed my heart. And I'll tell you, if you'd been burdened like I'd been burdened, and troubled like I'd been troubled, and feeling like you're trying to get it and couldn't get it, and wanted to have it, and was trying to do something to get it, and I was trusting in what I was doing in order to have peace. And I'll tell you, there was no peace in that. Once I came to see nothing could help me, nothing but the blood of Jesus. There was no hope for me but the blood of Jesus. There was no safety for me but the blood of Jesus. I don't believe that caused the blood of Jesus to be applied to me, but I know one thing, it made peace in my heart and peace in my life to understand that it had been applied. See, I just needed to know what Jesus had done. That's what the gospel does. It doesn't make what Jesus did a reality. It tells you about the reality of what Jesus did, that you might have peace and rest and joy. He says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. In other words, I'm not going to try to fix it up, prop it up, set it up, get it laid out just right. I'm not going to teach it the way I teach a math lesson. I'm not going to teach it the way I teach some other subject. I'm not going to approach it in the methodologies of men. I'm coming trusting in the Lord, leaning upon the Lord. And listen, God isn't illogical. God knows how we're to deliver these things, and God can bless a man. And listen, unless the Lord has blessed him, it won't be of any benefit to the Lord's people. And you know what that ultimately will do? It'll give the Lord all the glory. All the glory. You know how the Lord works in everything He does in this world. It's found in verse 29, and I'm going to close just with that. I know I didn't get very far in this passage, but let that be as it is. It says in the 29th verse of chapter 1, the things that God has done, it says right here in verse 29, there's a reason for that, and it really talks about all that He's done, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Listen, if I preach, it ought to be in a way that no flesh can glory in His presence. If we worship Him today, it ought to be in a way that no flesh can glory in His presence. If you're thankful in your home, it ought to be in a way that no flesh can glory in His presence. It is to Him that all the praise and all the glory and all the honor belongs. And that's the way He saved us, in such a way that there's not one of us who will be able to take any credit for it. Nature of man is the one credit, isn't it? That's my nature. That's why I got to keep it subdued and beaten under. And every once in a while it'll pop out. It'll pop out in us. It'll show up in some ugly ways. It can make you act ugly, look silly. You ever seen yourself sometimes just acting so ugly and looking so silly because you forget what it is you ought to be appreciative of and think more about things in the natural rather than the spiritual? Listen, let's not be natural minded. It's a wonderful thing to be spiritually minded. It's only God who can give you that spiritual mind, but let's operate and work in that mindedness as the Lord gives us the strength to do it. I appreciate your kind attention tonight. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.